For 7 weeks, more than 1,200 union workers have been locked out of their jobs with the state's largest gas utility, National Grid. As talks over a new contract have stalled, the lockout has dragged on and has turned personal among people who've worked side by side for decades. WBUR's Bruce Gilliman reports.
For the president of one of the world's largest investor-owned utilities, Marcy Reed's office in National Grid's headquarters in Waltham is surprisingly small and bare. She's all business.
I didn't come here to work 30 years. I came figuring I'd work two or three. And 30 years later, I'm sitting here in front of you, having loved almost every minute of it.
The low point in Reed's career with National Grid came at midnight Sunday, June 25th. That's when contract negotiations, which had gone on for months between the utility and two United Steelworker locals, came to a grinding halt.
And I was on the phone about every hour, midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. When we ultimately decided at 5 a.m. they weren't going to agree to our final package, at that point we made the decision to inform them that we would be locking them out.
By dawn, the gates at National Grid's facilities that serve 700,000 gas customers in 85 communities in eastern Massachusetts were locked shut. In Malden, passing cars honked support as members of the Steelworkers Local protested in front of the utility's operational yard. Some have worked here for nearly 40 years. Diane Toll has 24 with the company. She carried a sign, proud to be union.
The union wanted to continue to bargain, but National Grid locked us out. And National Grid will hopefully go back to the table and work with us. Till then, we're out of work. Out of work.
The utility says it's willing to bargain daily, the union once a week, until the company changes its final offer. But Marcy Reed says no contract, no work, though locking out 1,200 people hasn't been easy.
All of a sudden, employees with whom you're friends and colleagues are not coming to work the next day, which means they're not getting a paycheck, they're not getting their health care, and all of a sudden I need to find a different way to do the work. So it was a tough decision. But it was the decision we make, and actually I would make it all over again.
That decision was a long time in the making. In 2016, negotiations over a five-year contract stalled, so the unions and utility settled to leave things as they were for 2 years. But the positions and passions that divided then are even deeper now.
Well, I wouldn't say we were exactly family to begin with when you talk about the relationship. It hasn't been an easy one.
John Bonapane, president of United Steelworkers Local 12012, stands with members of his union picketing in front of the National Grid facility in Waltham. Bonapane says gas workers would settle for an extension of their old contract. He blames National Grid.
They're looking at trying to squeeze some concessions out of 1,200 workers, but they deserve those benefits. And this company makes $1 billion, so we're willing to work with them on the health insurance. We've told them that, and they understand that. They just haven't moved from their original position. They've really dug in.
Bonapane accuses the company of trying to undermine the union by requiring workers to pay more for their health insurance and divide members by forcing new employees into 401ks instead of company-funded pensions current workers get.
Who's to say next contract they're not going to come back to us and say, you know what, I know it was just the new hires this time, but this time we want it back for everybody.
But Marcy Reed says the company is just offering the same benefit package it's negotiated with 16 other unions.
The cost of health care and pensions have just gotten to a point where we can't be passing that level of cost on to our customers.
The utility is asking for a 13% to 17% rate hike next year. The average salary for a skilled, locked-out worker in the field is about $140,000 plus benefits. The company offered to increase pension contributions 10% and wages 14%, but during negotiations, it also planned for a lockout, just in case.
We wanted it to be, you know, the best plan we never used, is what we called it. We knew we needed to keep the work going. We serve a product that's 24/7. Our customers aren't going to wait for us.
To keep the gas flowing and respond to emergencies, the company redeployed 700 contract workers and put 600 supervisors into the field to replace the locked-out union workers, who have been showing up at job sites, recording what they allege are safety violations by their replacements.
July 19th, April, he's putting the fire suit on in the hole. He's already in the hole putting the fire suit on.
The unions have sent state regulators this and dozens of other videos from job sites they say show safety violations by substitute workers. Meanwhile, at the trenches, temperatures soar, and at times, tempers flare.
Yep, somebody put it in wrong.
Whoa!
Can't do your job right!
Marcy Reed calls the confrontations at work sites unfortunate. She says security is provided for substitute contract workers and managers, and if any safety concerns are observed, prompt action is taken.
Every person who's doing the real work on the gas mains has their state and federal certifications. Why, in heaven's name, would I put anyone on a job site that's not safe? What do I have to gain from that?
The lockout has taken a toll on both sides. National Grid managers have lost their summer vacations and union workers their livelihoods. Joe Carrillo is president of the other locked-out union local.
Some people are never going to get over this, and you can understand why. When you have ill children and they cut your health care off, it's something that you're not going to forget.
We know there's just going to be all kinds of hard feeling, scar tissue that has to be resolved.
Robert McCursey is professor emeritus of industrial relations at MIT's Sloan School.
The fact that it was a lockout, it's a very aggressive action. It's a very harsh negotiating tactic by an employer. And how are they going to, in a sense, mend fences and deal with all of the hard feelings when the family gets back together?
McCursey says the toughest and most important relationships to repair are between union workers in the field and their managers, who have replaced them since the lockout began. National Grid President Marcy Reed knows the gas utility has its work cut out for it.
People have feelings. It'll be tough to get past it. And I'd be naive if I thought that all of those feelings are going to go away overnight. But working at National Grid, it's kind of like a family. And so it's in that spirit that we're going to bring them back.
The last time union gas workers in Massachusetts were locked out was a quarter of a century ago. That one lasted 17 weeks. Today, National Grid's lockout begins week 8. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gellerman.